All right, thank you for that. Thank you for being here. Of course, we're in a small series we always do at the beginning of the year when we get into a new theme. And our theme this year is desiring growth. It's pretty simplistic, and really it's pretty straightforward. By desiring growth, we mean desiring to progress in our Christian life and to deepen and grow in our relationship with God, to be able to serve God more effectively, to become better in all of my relationships, to fulfill all my responsibilities in a more successful way, and really just to live a more right and righteous and godly type of life. All of that is wrapped up in really growing in our Christian faith. Tonight, this morning's message will be very, 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 very simple. Really, when we're talking about growing, think of it in the same sense of growing physically. In order to grow and be healthy, you have to have proper nourishment. I said proper nourishment, not death in a bag. He said McDonald's, and for those of you that weren't listening. You have to eat, okay? And I know on Sunday mornings when you're preaching, I'm looking at the clock, and because I understand if you go long, you can't compete with lunch. I get that, and I don't want to compete with lunch. There's an ancient fable. It's been told on many days. You've heard it, but a man who prayed to his God that he would be able to turn things into gold by touching it. And his prayer came true. And the man ended up dying because he couldn't eat. Because everything that touched him became gold, including his food. Okay? You know, hunger may not be a big problem in our country. Now, they say it is, but when I look around, I don't see very many people that are struggling with that. Okay? I looked at a website called The World Counts, but according to them in the world, about 9 million people a year across the world die of either hunger or hunger-related diseases. About 1 in 9 in the world go to bed hungry. As I looked at that, and I looked at those statistics, which are staggering, and they're really grab you. The only good thing is I looked at it. Those numbers actually, because there's been a targeted response to try to help that, those numbers over the last 30 years are going down each and every year. So we are working on it. But still, hunger is tragic. I'm going to reference this in a minute as I get into the message. The verses that we read, if you were one of the few people that weren't sick the first Sunday of the year, we referenced those verses, and when we revealed our theme, they were very familiar. We saw how these different verses deal with spiritual growth and the need to get into the Word of God in order to be able to grow. The verses in Corinthians, they were talking to a church that was, they weren't growing because they were choosing to be carnal. In other words, they were choosing not to live any different than the society in which they dwelt. And the Corinthian church, the city of Corinth was one of the more wicked cities of its time. They actually had a phrase that if someone was a drunkard, they would call them a Corinthian. They were not known for being living correctly. The problem is, because the church was still acting spiritually immature and not growing in their faith, what was happening in the city was brought into the church. And that was a very, very bad thing. In the Hebrew Christians, as we mentioned and referenced these verses in our first message, they were old enough spiritually from the time they had trusted Christ to where they should have been mature in their faith. They should have been able to teach people. And they're being rebuked for saying at the time you should be teaching people, you still need to be taught the basics because they did not grow in their faith. I'll look at these a little bit more. As we mentioned the problem of physical starvation at the beginning of the message, there is a spiritual starvation that is going on in our society amongst Christians. The average church is very, very weak on not just believing Bible doctrines, but actually teaching them. they want to bring people in. They want to itch their ears. They want to give things that'll make them feel good without having any Bible substance or encouraging people to actually grow in their knowledge of the scripture and actually make it a part of their life. The only thing sadder, if we think about it, when we looked at the statistics of those who suffer from starvation across the world, they have no other choice. They're doing what they can, but in some cases, there's not a whole lot that they can do to change it. But when we think of spiritual starvation, it's because we're choosing to starve spiritually. The plate is set before us, the food is there, and yet we choose not to take it. The point I want us to get today is this. It's very simple. You ready? If you are spiritually starving, if you are not getting the spirit, and you may not think you are, but if you're not getting the spiritual nutrition you need from God's word, here it is. It's very simple. It's your fault.
Yep. Amen.
See, we have this thing in our country where we want to blame everybody else. We want to say, well, it's, look, there are places around this world, you know, where they can't get a Bible if they wanted one.
Right.
That's not the case. People give me, you know, I preach in a few places and I've done things, and, you know, they want to be nice and they give me a Bible. It's like, I'm good. I have enough Bibles. I'm trying to give them away, but people don't want to take them because I'll put my name on them. And, you know, I got several Bibles in my office, and I don't even read those ones. Now, I read my Bible, okay? I choose to read the Bible I have on my iPad because I take notes and different things, and I do look at the physical. But it's not a problem here. It's everywhere. So if you are not in your Bible and you're not getting any spiritual nutrition, it's because you're choosing not to eat. We blame the church. I haven't heard this in a while, but it's been a long time, but occasionally someone would come and say, you know, I'm going to go find another church because I'm not being fed. Now, I'll be honest with you. The couple people that have said that, the churches they go to, they're not spitting anything out scriptural. But if you're not being fed, let me just say something. You need to just man up and say, I'm not being fed because I'm not eating. And by the way, although church is important, it cannot replace your time in the Word of God. See, our goal, yes, is to teach the truth of the Bible, and I do the best I can, but if you don't go home and get in it yourself, you're not going to make it. How many of you are going to eat lunch today, and that's it for the week? So you're going to come to church one time? And you're going to be good for the week? We blame the Bible. I just don't understand it. The reason we don't understand it is because we don't take the time to get into it. It's not that hard.
Yep.
Now, there are some things. Look, when I first read the Bible, the first time in my life, I was so far behind. I'm like, I got to catch up. I read it within 3 months. I didn't understand it. I started to get it, John. I started to understand some of the stories, and I started getting some of it, and I'd come to church, and I'd hear the preaching, and I continued to read it, and the more I read it, and then it started to make sense. And let me just tell you something. I've been doing that for a long time, and it's just still now making sense. You can read the same verse you've read 150 times, and I'll read it, and I'm like, I didn't get that the first time. So you're going to constantly be growing.
Yeah.
We blame our lives sometimes. I just don't have time. You will all find time to eat lunch today. You will all find time to have dinner tonight.
Yep.
You will all find time to eat today. You will all find time for the things that you want to do.
Yep.
So it's just an excuse. So here's the point. If you're going to grow, you must eat. You must eat.
Yeah.
We should just pray and send you out to the restaurant right now, right? We're talking about spiritually. Let me give you a couple thoughts just to reinforce this. First, I want us to see the consequences of not eating. Because choices have consequences. We don't like that. We want to do whatever we want, and then the consequences come, and we want to blame somebody else. That's not how it works.
Oh, yeah.
And there are consequences if you choose to be a Christian who is not seeking to grow in their knowledge and understanding of the Bible. What are some of the consequences? You remain a baby Christian. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He goes, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." You ever try talking to a babe or a young one? Callie, my third youngest grandchild now, she was number one a couple months ago. Now she's like, "Sorry, you've been replaced, girl." But she'll occasionally, I'll be at work or something, and she'll tell her mom, you know, "Papa," and she wants to FaceTime me on the phone, and then she takes the phone. She wants to show me around. Mostly I'm looking up her nostril or at the roof. She doesn't know how to hold it. But she just like, you know, "I'm the Colby," and then she's like, I have no clue what she's saying. It's like, she might as well be speaking a foreign language. I can't have a conversation with her. You get it? It has to be fine. "Show me the dog." She gets that. All right, but you have to talk to it. Now, if Hannah were to FaceTime me and say, "Colby, okay," there's a problem there. She's a little bit more mature. And he's saying here, I can't even talk to you like a spiritual person because you're still acting and spiritually mature as a babe in Christ. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a baby. Babies are messy. Okay? One of the kids was there and they crawled up next to me and it's like, it smells toxic. Guess what? That's why they wear a diaper. Now, I know towards the end of our life, we may go back to that, okay? Yeah. This depends on each individual. Thank you for catching that. But you know, that's a baby. If you're sitting next to a 20-year-old and it's like, what happened? That's a problem. Okay? I'm glad. Look, you need to mature in your faith. And I understand when you're a new Christian, you don't get all of it. And I get that. But we mature in our faith, and 2 or 3 years down the line, we shouldn't be at a place where we don't understand the basics of Scripture. We're still struggling in areas where, to be honest with you, we shouldn't struggle. The problem with baby Christians, and we've all been there at one time, hopefully we're getting out of it, self-inflicted problems. Do you know the little ones, they just don't get along very well, right? They're just arguing about dumb little things. They're irresponsible. They're selfish. So are we. We just hide it better. But they're children. So if you're not going to feed yourself, you're going to remain a baby Christian, and you're going to have to accept all the drama and the problems and the consequences that come along with it. The good thing, just grow. Secondly, another consequence is you are a carnal Christian. He gives you the answer in verse 3, and he's referenced it. In 1 Corinthians, "For ye," excuse me, "ye are yet carnal." You know what carnal is? We've looked at it before. I looked up the word, the meaning of it once, and it has four meanings. It means fleshly. We just live for what our flesh wants. We live by our desires unchecked. By the way, desires are not typically right. If we are going to have the right desires, we have to force ourselves to have the right desires. Because naturally, our desires want to kick off to the left. They want to kick off, they default to the wrong. We're just living by our flesh. We're living for the temporal. We have no thought of the eternal. We're carnal. We just want what's good for us, what we think is good for us now, without any thought as to the future and without any thought as to the spiritual aspect of life. It literally means animalistics. You know, an animal just lives by, you know, what do they call it, instinct. They just do what they do. Or it also means living like unregenerate, like an unsaved person. Do you do what you do just because you feel like it without any thought or any contemplation as to whether it's right or wrong? Because we all want to default to that which is wrong, right? And we have to stop and say, what's the spiritual thing to do? But can I just tell you something? Immature people always default to the feelings. Okay, mature people default to try to overcome that and go to what is right. We don't want to be carnal. You become a stagnant Christian. That's what Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. He says that in verse 12, for when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You teach your children when they come home and do their homework. If they're in first and second grade, you're teaching them their letters. One of the grandkids was over, and he was, Caden. Caden was at our house, and we were looking at the clock, and he got a couple of them wrong. I'm like, all right, Caden, here we go. What's a big hand? What's a small hand? Okay, that's fine for Caden. How old's Caden? First grade? Second, okay. Look, if he's in seventh grade, and it's like, no, Caden, the big hand's on the 12, and the little hand's on the 2, that's a problem. Okay, we don't want to be like that. We're stagnant. There's like, look, you ought to know what's going on in the Christian life, and yet you're still back here. You're still back here at the very beginning. You're still back here at the first principles. Why don't you get to over here? They're stagnant. They're not going anywhere. They're not growing. That's what happens when we choose not to feed ourselves. And then let's just be real honest, okay? We can look at all that. That's all cute. Second Peter verse. But grow in grace. If you don't grow, what are you doing? You're being disobedient. Let's just be honest. It's not an option. God is not God gives us the option to make a choice, but the choice is not I'm going to grow or I'm not going to grow. The choice is this: I'm going to be obedient or I'm not going to be obedient. Because God doesn't want us to stay where, as parents, we don't want our newborns to stay where they're at. We want to help them to grow and mature and nurture them so that one day they're adults and they can make decisions and we're helping them to get out into the world and do the right thing. So we don't have to baby them. But we're being a disobedient Christian. That's what Hebrews says in chapter 5, verse 14, when he puts it all together. He says, here's the problem. He says, strong meat. What does that mean? The more mature things of Christianity belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. He says, you grow by learning the principles of Scripture and putting it to use. How does that happen? He says, you have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When you're being obedient and you're doing the right thing and you're understanding it and choosing to do the right thing, you're not going to be an immature Christian. What are some of the causes? We looked at the consequences, but what are some of the causes that would keep us not eating? Let me give you a couple. First of all, this is simple. Your mouth's not open. Right? You ever try to feed a baby? Now, I'm still trying to come to odds at how these people that come up with baby food get the flavors. I don't get it. Beets and apples. I just never thought those went together. Right? Pears and asparagus. I don't get that. Right? Either give them asparagus or give them pears. Don't ruin both of them by throwing them together. And the kids look at it. And by the way, it doesn't smell good. And sometimes kids just don't want to eat, right? How many of you had that? And it's like they close their mouth. And it's like, you know, like, now fortunately I don't have teeth, so it's a little easier to get the spoon in. But they don't open their mouth. We had a child in daycare one time, probably four or five. And the parents had babied this child to a point where at their house, the child just did not, we could not get her to eat. She just refused. There was only two things she would eat. Can I just tell you something? She had no problem eating in our house. Because my wife was like, you're going to eat. And the baby's like, oh, when I'm at the house, I got to eat. But when they go at home, the parents wouldn't make them eat. Yeah. But it's kind of hard if the kids like got the lock on their lips. If you don't want to grow, you're not going to. Right. If you're not wanting something from God, you're not going to get it. Yeah. God's not going to force it down your throat. You have to be willing. That's why the key word really isn't growth. The key word is desiring. You got to desire it. You got to want it. And when you want it, you willingly have your mouth open to get what you want, what you need. So your mouth's not open. Here's another one. You don't like the menu. When I was younger, believe it or not, I was a very picky eater. Maybe it's because I was the last born. I don't know what it was. I hated vegetables. Like, you know, if we even went out for a hamburger, I didn't want anything on it. Just the bread, the hamburger, and whatever, ketchup and mustard. I thought when I was younger that salad was like a punishment. It's like you sinned, you had to eat salad. And I didn't eat it. Okay, I didn't eat any of it. I remember I went to Bible college, and, you know, you didn't really have a choice with the menu, and they'd throw this stuff on there, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you know, at some point I just got to eat this stuff. And I started eating it. I got to the point where, towards the end of my time in college, they actually built a brand new dining hall, and because they had saved some money on the menu, they actually had two options now. You can get the dinner, or you could have a soup and salad bar. And I got to where, believe it or not, I like the salad bar. I wouldn't, now before it's like, I thought that if you ate that, you were going to die. You know, that's how we treat the Bible, right? We want cafeteria style. We'll read something in the Bible and say, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. And then we'll read something else and it's like, whoa, time out. That goes against what I want to do. And so we get our cafeteria out, and we go by the Bible and say, I'll take this truth. This is okay. I'll take this one. And then we're like, ooh, I don't want to have anything to do with that, and we bypass it. Let me just say something. You don't have an option when it comes to the Scripture. Yep. I'm not going to hide it from you either. There are things in the Bible you won't like. How do you know? Because there's things in the Bible I don't like. They went against my grain. I'm like, what? God says that? You got to be kidding me. But you know what? I'm like, I'm not making the rules here. I'm just going to follow them. Yeah. It was on the menu. You're going to eat it. It's going to hide it from, I'm not going to hide it. You look at your children. There's things, see, you have to help your children get over this too. There are things children won't eat. You know why? They don't like the look and they don't like the texture. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, now we didn't do it a lot, but occasionally we would get the, if we're out of town or whatever, you go to that place with the arches for breakfast, and they give you those compressed potato things, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And so here it is, we'd give it to our children when they were young, and they'd look at it like, I don't want that. It's like, you eat French fries? And they're like, but yeah. And I'm like, all that is a flat French fry. Literally, that's all it is. It's just a French fry in a different form. But because they didn't like the look of it, and they didn't like it's textured a little bit different from a French fry, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. It's like, it's the same thing. Put ketchup on it. It'll fly. But that's how we are. By the way, the things sometimes we look at the Bible and we don't like it on the menu, it's the things that are good for us. And I'm telling you, if you'll incorporate them into your life, you know what'll happen? You'll like it. You'll like it. For 2-3 years in Bible college, they had these things, and they were called gyros. And I never ate one. I saw them on signs everywhere. I'm like, whatever. And then one kid on my bus route had one day. And he's sitting back there, and I'm like, what is that? And it's like, it's a gyro. I'm like, share. I gotta try that bad boy. So he cut that thing down, and I'm like, I felt something. You know, Spirit of God was moving in me. And I'm telling you what, when I go to those hot dog places, like, I don't want the hot dogs. Give me the gyro, right? But I get so mad at myself. I wasted 3 years in Bible college not eating gyros. I paid all that money for my training, and I got nothing. If God puts it on the menu, eat it. Before we move on, my grandparents, we used to, first to third grade, my mom worked, so we would stay over there and go to school. And my grandfather was old school. Old school. You sat at the dinner table and you did not get up until you asked to be excused and he looked at your plate. I'm ashamed to say this, but my grandmother used to love to make mashed potatoes. And I hated those things. Now, fortunately, they had this little whole floor thing that, and I'd fling it over there and then put it in the trash. Like, and I'm like, I love mashed potatoes now.
Come on.
Pray for me. I had some issues. But you know what? You don't like what's on the menu, but what's on the menu is good for you. And if you try it, you'll like it.
Amen.
What's another reason we don't eat? We're missing meals. We're missing meals. You know, you just allow things to come into your life that keep you from getting what you need from God's word. Now, the primary way you're going to get that is through reading the Bible. And look, January, everybody starts, and Genesis is great, and somewhere about halfway through Exodus, we Exodus. Right? Once you get past the 10 plagues and you quit thinking about Charleston Heston, you're on your way out. Do you know, can I just tell you something? There's more than just two books in the Bible. Yeah, there's 66 of them. But we have to stay forward. We have to keep going. We can't just ignore it. Another reason we don't eat is because we're full of junk food. My mom used to say it, no sweets before dinner time, right? Look, if you let a kid come home and eat like three bowls of cereal and then an hour later say, hey, we're having meatloaf, I don't care if they like meatloaf, they ain't eating it. They have three bowls of cereal in their gut. It ruins their dinner. Can I just say this? If our life is nothing but loading up on things that are contrary to the Word of God, then we see the Word of God, we're full of other things.
Yeah, come on.
The two just aren't going to stay together. Look, you ask a child, right? What would you rather have? Broccoli or Flaming Hot Cheetos? Listen, children think Flaming Hot Cheetos is the fifth food group. And if you want to get nutrition from Flaming Hot Cheetos, eat the bag that it comes in. There's more nutrition there. And by the way, don't pray before you eat that stuff. Lord, please help this to nourish my body. It's not possible. What, God's going to automatically like drop vitamins in there from heaven? It's not happening. It's not going to happen. By the way, there's a reason we don't sell broccoli in the vending machine. Kids aren't going to eat it. You feed it to them at home. But if they're going to take the bad stuff, and there's nothing wrong with Flaming Hot Cheetos unless that's one of your food groups and we have a problem. But if you're so loaded up on junk in your life, you know, you're not going to get the Word of God. What does James tell us? They have the overflowing of wickedness, the superfluity of naughtiness. Because we have all this stuff in our garden, we got all these weeds, and we wonder why the plants won't grow. And we have all this stuff in our life that's so anti-God. And we look at the Bible when we read it as being archaic. And we look at the Bible when we read it like being out of touch with reality. No, it's not out of touch with reality. The stuff that's out of touch with reality is a part of our life.
Yep.
So let me give you the cures in the 5 minutes or so we have left. What is the cure for not eating? You ready? It's very simple. First word up there, a form of it. Desire. Desire. As newborn babes, what? Desire. That's kind of small. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Who's the next one in our church having a baby? I think it's probably Erica, right? You know, their first time having a baby, it's all cute and all that stuff. That's a hospital, yada, yada. And you bring it home and you're so excited. First day home with the baby. And then long about 2 a.m, you hear it. That's a baby's way of saying, I desire the milk. They're hungry.
Yep.
And by the way, when they're hungry, they let you know.
Yep.
You know, they're not like, Mom, if you'd like to feed me, you can get up at 2 a.m. No, we don't want to. They're like, I need to eat. I'm hungry. Wouldn't it be good if we treated the Bible like that?
Come on.
People started crying in church. Not because the message is horrible or it's going too long. Desire. If you don't have a desire for the Bible, of course you're not going to eat it. Do you have a desire? Then there's delight. In Psalms chapter 1, you don't have to read it. You can look at it later. He talks about the blessing of not walking the counsel of all ungodly and getting the things that would be harmful out of our life, that the bad advice, the bad principles, the bad lies of society. And then he says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you delight in it? Well, I got my Bible reading scheduled, Pastor Myers, and I'm going to get through Leviticus this year. I'm going to do this. And you're just doing it, and it's like, okay, I didn't get anything out of it. Let me check that thing off. Now look, sometimes you read the Bible and it doesn't jump off the page. I get that. But if that's every day, there's a problem. And if you look at it like, I got to read my Bible today, instead of saying, I get to read my Bible today. I get to open up the pages. I get to see what God is saying. You understand the difference. You know, it's like some people have jobs. They don't like delight to go to their jobs. And I get, you know, sometimes you got to work a job. You just got to work until things work out. But there's other people, they love going to their job. Now, let's not see the Bible like that. Let's not see being a Christian like that. I have to go to church today. No, you get to go to church today. You get to go. You get to be with God's people. You get to go to your Sunday school class. You get free coffee. It's not really free because they're going to ask you to pitch in. I'm just going to tell you right now. You know, you get the food, whatever, and you get to sing and all the things. Look, it says, I have to go. Delight. Look at the verses. Psalm 119. I'm going to give you several. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. Verse 113. But thy law do I love. Verse 163. Thy law do I love. Let's not look at the Bible like, and I hate this. My grandmother tried to force me to eat this, and this is the one thing I totally rebelled on, and even though I eat vegetables, I will not eat eggplant. First of all, those two things don't go together.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to eat a plant, but I will eat egg. You put the two together, I'm out.
Yep,
I'm just, I'm out. I don't want to see it. There are some things that like beets. It's like, you know, that's what you do on someone's head.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I can't. It literally turns my stomach. My wife would make me juice, and it's like, beets are good for you. And she put it in there. I drank it. I'm like, my stomach hurts. Don't do that. Plus the taste. And then so a few days later, she sneaks it in where I can't taste it. And then I'm like, my stomach hurts. You put beets in there, didn't you? Well, just a little. It hurts. Do we see the Bible like that? Do we see it like something that's painful? It's delightful. And then the last thing is diligence. We saw that. We see it in Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest to observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He's saying, look, you want to be successful, it's related to the word of God, and what you've got to do with the word of God, you've got to meditate. You don't just read it, you think about it. And then it becomes a part of your life, and the decisions you make, you meditate. What would Scripture say about this decision? How should I make this decision based on what the Bible says? And then you seek to obey it. Look, that's more than just, I read my three chapters today, I'm done. You know what that is? That's, I want to know what God's word says, and I want to understand it, and I want to apply it to the situations of my life, and I just want to do what it says. That takes diligence, by the way. It doesn't happen on accident. It takes great effort. So here's the point this morning. Do you feel like, spiritually speaking, you are being fed? If not, you got to eat. You've got to make it important. By the way, let's think about church for a second and we'll be done. Someone can get up and preach a message, myself or the evangelist we have or somebody else, and someone will come and say, you know what, that message helped me. I got that. And other people are like, oh, what was he talking about? Oh, he said something funny, ha ha. They didn't get anything out of it. Two people can sit at home and if you follow the Bible church Bible reading calendar together, you're going to read the same thing as most of the people at church. Someone will read that verse, Brother Chim, and say, that spoke to me today. That was great. I was encouraged. And other people are like, I didn't get anything out of it, but hey, I can check that bad boy off. What's the difference? The difference is you. If you're going to grow, if you're going to be fed, if you're going to be spiritually nutritioned, It's your choice. We can promote it, and we're going to promote it all year. But if you don't desire it, it won't happen. Are you growing? If our potty size was the size of our spiritual nutrition, nobody in here probably needed to have a diet. Amen? Where are we at? It's your choice. What you get spiritually and what you do spiritually and where you're at on the spiritual scale is up to you. And I encourage you today, you know what? Eat. Eat. Get into this book. Make this book a part of your life. You say, well, I don't understand it. I get it. Start from where you're at and go forward. You can get it. God will give you what you need from it, but God cannot crack it open for you. God cannot make you think about it, seek to put it into your life. That's your choice. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute if we can. Thank you for listening this morning. Very simple message. If we're going to grow, we need the Bible. And if we get the Bible, it's because we have made a conscious choice to get into the Bible. Is that you today? Are you spirit? Now, none of us have enough. I get it. You can never get enough Bible. But how are you doing? Or is it, you know, I was at church this morning. I'll see you next week if I'm not busy. You gonna ever crack your Bible open? You gotta eat. And I'm admonishing you, God wants to do things in your life, but he cannot do it in your life apart from the scripture. And God can't force you to do that. He'll encourage you. He'll admonish you. He'll try to work in your life to get you there. But you got to do it. You got to do it. Maybe you're here this morning. The Bible won't make a lot of sense to you until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, it takes a spiritual person to understand spiritual things. And once we're saved, the Spirit of God, who God used to author the Bible, will teach the Bible as you're reading it and you're hearing it. But if you're not saved, you don't know that. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't need to be fed as a newborn babe. You need to become a newborn babe in Christ. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning, and you would answer this question, if you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? You say, you know, Pastor Myers, I think that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I do have some doubt, Pastor. Boy, I'd sure like you to pray for me. With nobody looking, if that's you, just quickly, would you just raise your hand? I'll pray for you. Pastor, I'm not for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. That's something I'd like to know. Pastor, pray for me. Anybody like that, I'll just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Okay, see your hand. Let's stand together if we may. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Maybe some of you need to make that commitment. I need to get back in my Bible. I need to get serious about understanding what God is saying in the Bible. See, because if we're not serious, someone will throw something at us that's not true, and we don't know the difference because we're not serious about it. We can be fooled. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the desire that you have for us, not just to be your children, but to grow as your children. And we're thankful that you've given us the tool, the food we need to grow in our faith, the Word of God. None of us in here, Lord, get too much of it. Help all of us to work, Lord, to continue to be faithful to your Word. Lord, I pray if there's some that maybe are not in your Word, that they would start and that they would allow your Word to work in their life. And that we as a church would allow your Word to direct our way and work in our lives. Bless us now until we meet together again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.